Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, it's Kelly Kirsch, an hour of hockey talk right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Eric Tkachuk coming up, one of our NHL insiders. We'll join him from Los Angeles, find out what's going on in the Pacific Division. Last night was interesting. We'll catch up and see what's happening with that. Looks like there's no supplemental discipline for Jamie Benn on his sit on Coyotes defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. We'll have more details on that. But first, let's talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you kindly.
You're kind of getting to that mode. You got one more home game, and then you guys hit the road for five. Mm-hmm. And that, I would say the next six games are unbelievably important until we say it again. But really, it is something when you lay out this road trip. You know, you got Boston here on Friday, and if it's anything like the game we saw last night in Edmonton, that is going to be much. You just got to see it, got to hear it, got to be there. Flames and Bruins, and then they go on a trip that includes Detroit, Boston again, Nashville, and the two Florida teams. It's a lot of miles and a lot of hard teams, and one team that is really struggling, which makes me a little nervous for Sunday. So there's a bunch on the table here, and very important games as it is for most teams in the Western Conference.
So let me throw this back at you. What game in the last month and a half hasn't felt important?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the game against Anaheim, and if it didn't go the way the Flames wanted to, if that would have been one of those, whoa, remember when that was that, you're right, they're all important, and there I was on the phone going, you know, okay, well, okay, so Boston, okay, who's going to get the extra point? Well, all right, now if the Oilers win their game in hand, they're five up on the Flames, you start doing all this crazy math, oh, the Coyotes lose, okay, well, that helps. It's something else. I mean, I guess that's what the NHL wants. They want this kind of stuff.
They do.
It's tough for the fans and tough for the team and tough for coaches to kind of go through it. But when, you know, like a Wednesday, you know, a Sunday night game against Detroit is like, wow, we got to have it. Got to get those 2 points. It's crazy how it's become this way.
Well, it really is. And the fact of the matter is there's really not a lot, Kelly, this year. I've never seen anything like it. So let's start in the Pacific Division today. 3 points separating five teams. Is it not February the 20th?
Yeah, we thought we'd have some separation. And I remember I said that you'd probably see 7, 8, 9, 10 points, and you said, I'm not so sure. And turns out your you know, future look was more than mine, because it's one of those things. And it has something to do, obviously, the teams are very close, and there isn't like a dominant team this year. And it also, you know, you get points in overtime and shootouts and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's you just cannot have a bad 2 weeks. If you have a bad
you
two
can't.
Weeks from here on in, you're probably done. Yeah,
you are. I mean, this is, again, I always think every season that when it comes to losing streaks, you don't want to go any more than three at a time, or you can put yourself in a really, really bad situation. Now, over the course of an 82-game season, and the Flames have been, you know, a perfect example. I mean, they've had a 7-game win streak. They've, you know, had a 9-game unbeaten streak. They've also had a 6-game losing streak and a couple others along the way. So, you know, it's been so up and down. And what happens, and it's really gone through my mind a lot in the last few days, is this year it feels, because we're close to it, right, that Calgary's having the most turbulent up and down season, and they have. There's been a lot to this season. We know that. But guess what, Kelly? So have about 15 other teams.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just at the point now more than ever, I think the reason for it is there just isn't a whole lot that separates very many teams in the league. And I think that, you know, on sports talk radio stations and a lot of other markets, albeit different teams are in different stages. So here's a perfect example, and it applies a lot to the trade deadline. I see Vancouver and Calgary in a very different situation. And why I say that is because Vancouver hasn't been in the playoffs since they lost to Calgary in 2015. So at a certain point in time, for the growth of your group and your young players, it can really help your group to be in the playoffs. So to me, more reason at this point in time for Jim Benning to, you know, maybe tweak or do some things like he's already done with Tyler Toffoli to bring him in. If I'm Brad Treleving, I don't feel that way. I really don't. Now, I feel incredible pressure from a lot of different places because of expectation to want my team in. The other confusing thing, Kelly, is because of the race that we were just talking about, doesn't there feel like there's an open-ended opportunity here?
Well, it does, because it's like, well, where do you want to finish? Do you want to finish first, or do you want to be second, third? You know, what looks better for a playoff matchup for the Flames? Vancouver, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Arizona? You tell me. I don't know.
But you can't pick. But what you can say that I think makes the trade deadline, and that's the biggest conversation people are having that I see or hear or get asked about, is what should the Flames do? It's different because do I think the Flames have as equal an opportunity as anyone in the division they're fighting with? I do.
Yeah.
I still think Vegas, in my opinion, might be the one team that I'd be more nervous if I was Calgary to play than anybody else in the division. But outside of that, do I think Calgary could go on a run this spring? I do.
Mm-hmm.
But would I mortgage a lot after what I've seen? No, I wouldn't.
Well, especially when what's out there too, Lou. Like, it's not like there's this big blue chip guy that, oh my God, if we could just get him and he's going to be here long term, it would make all the difference in the world. I don't see that for anybody out there right now. Right?
I mean, I don't. And wouldn't you agree? And maybe you disagree. And that's why it's great to have conversation. Where we are at with the Calgary Flames is this, by and large, core group of people have been together for a long time. They have some playoff experience. This is a team with good pieces and some really good young pieces. But for some of its core members, isn't it time?
It's put
Kelly?
Up or shut up time for a lot of them, right?
Well, isn't it?
Basically, it is. And It's interesting to hear it, and you know, the GM was, you know, Brad was all over the media yesterday, and he's so awesome with his time, and he, you sure heard him talk about kind of, you know, this situation that they're in. Like, is there a you know, this awesome player that's going to get dropped into your lap that's going to, you know, win game seven of a series for you? I don't know. I mean, I don't think there is. There's some tweaks and some depth and that sort of thing, but you also got to remember, like, I'll tell you, you gotta think of the future. You gotta think of these draft picks. If you're the Calgary Flames, Edmonton Oilers, Vancouver, teams like that,
right,
you've got to build through the draft, and you can only do that. And it takes patience because you're not going to see these guys for a long time. But you gotta have kind of bullets in the chamber to kind of, you know, do your thing in June. And it's hard to kind of resist to maybe trade some of those. And I look like at a team like the Los Angeles Kings, and they are sellers for sure this year. And Lou, we haven't seen them load up on draft picks in years. And here
they haven't had to.
They got their Stanley Cups, and now they're kind of going, okay, well, that's over. And now they've got, you know, multiple picks in the second round, and they're looking for more. I mean, that's the dilemma when you're, you know, the fans, if you let, you know, you listen to the fans all the time, you'll be one of them, right? So you got to let that passion, it's cool to have passion, but you can't do things emotionally. But you also want to think, is there one more thing we can do? Is there one more thing we have to do because of injury and security and that kind of thing? This is such an interesting time in the next few hours, right till 1 o'clock on Monday for GM Treleving to kind of go through this.
Well, it is. So you never really want to get away from your plan. And, you know, I'm not in that seat, and I'll never be in that seat. But I will say this. The Calgary Flames have a really good group of what I call the 25 and under class. Now, is it perfect? No. It isn't perfect. And rarely do you see a perfect. But I do know this. I think this year, and we've talked about it, Kelly, and both Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane, I think now in that same class, you've maybe added potentially two more core pieces. That's really good. My guess is if you and I, when we have this discussion at the end of the year, I'm not going to feel any different about, you know, two of the people that I think this year has shown a lot from. I don't think that's going away for me. And my guess is I'm not going to get a lot of reason between now and the end of the year where wherever this season ends to feel differently. But the twofold problem is you're in a division where you could conceivably have a good run this spring. But now you need to be careful. Now you need to be careful.
Don't let it jade you, right?
Well, you don't. And I still think, and let's hear from Brad if we can for a minute now, I asked him specifically yesterday in that conference, whether it's trade, tinkering, depth, is this still not right now with 21 games left and hopefully a playoff run, is this not up to the core group that's been around here for a long time? Here was his answer.
At the end of the day, for us to get to where we want to get to, we need our group in here to, you know, there's nothing out, you know, I don't see a lot outside that's going to come in and dramatically change everything, right? You're not going to blow up your team and rebuild it on at the trade deadline. Is there support pieces or things? Sure. But ultimately, and this doesn't go for us, this goes for every team. The teams that ultimately are going to get in are the teams that, you know, their core people are, you know, get you in and play. And what we need, as everybody talks about, is we need our group to play to the level that they're capable of. If our group plays to the level that they're capable of on a consistent, and we've seen stretches, then we're going to have as good a chance as anybody. Again, can you assist that? Can you help that? If it makes sense at the right cost, we're going to try our best. But ultimately, you can't look for outside saviors. You need to, and I think our group understands that. We need the people. We've got some really good people here, really good players here. We need everybody to get to the level that they're capable of. And if we have that, we're going to give ourselves every chance to get in.
Yeah, and we've heard this from different coaches. We've heard it from GMs. We've heard it from the media. And it's a cliche, but we say this all the time on Hockey Central. You know why it's a cliche? Because usually it's true, or there's some truth to it, Peter. Your best players have to be your best players. You can't trade your way out of this situation. If the Johnny Gaudreaus and Sean Monahans and Matthew Tkachuks can't elevate between now and when you stop playing hockey, whether it's April, May, or June, like, don't worry about it, because if your best players aren't going, then it's just about impossible to do much in the playoffs.
Well, it is. That's really what it boils down to. And you can add other names. You can add Michael Backlund's name. You can add the captain's name when he comes back. And yesterday it sounded like there's some more positivity to that situation. And even briefly having a quick chat with Mark yesterday at the Flames Foundation, you know, charity poker event, which does such an incredible job for the community that all the players were involved in yesterday. You know, I saw a bit of a gleam in his eye to suggest that, you know, hopefully it's sooner rather than later. Now, this is a tricky time of the year to evaluate. It really is, because things happen at this time of the year, because you're trying to play your cards, no pun intended from yesterday, close to the vest about who's ready and, you know, if indeed you're trying to make some things happen. But that's it for me. And that's why I said, Kelly, today off the top, that I don't see Calgary's situation the same as, you know, a team like a Vancouver or a team like an Arizona.
Or even like Edmonton, too, where they
even to a, yeah,
it's time for them to maybe,
time.
They could go for it. Those guys could go and make a big splash and give a draft pick, a first round draft pick away. But Calgary, you're right. It's a different situation here. And it's almost harder to kind of get your head around in some ways as a fan, because it's like, well, hang on here. It's not as cut and dried as we haven't made the playoffs and we just got to get in. It's not like that. And it's not like we're being, you know, elitist or anything, because people love playoffs around here, right? And we'd like to have a nice long
run. Everybody does,
right? What it does for the city. But it's not as simple as that. And it's not as simple as just waving this magic wand and all of a sudden, hey, somehow we got Chris Kreider and he's going to get us into the Stanley Cup final. It doesn't quite work that way. So,
in all the time we've done this together for the last number of years, have you ever heard me really talk about this is a put up or shut up type of situation before this year?
No,
I haven't.
No,
I haven't. Because I haven't felt that way before.
Yeah. This is time.
This is time for this group. You've now had, you know, you were in 2015. You're in 2017 for a lot of them. You're in 2019. It's time.
Yeah.
It's time. This is a different time.
So the trade deadline comes up on 1 o'clock Calgary time on Monday. The Flames have got some work to do before then. They will play two games. They'll play tomorrow night in Calgary against the Boston Bruins. And then they get on a plane, and you guys will fly to the Motor City and have a date with the Detroit Red Wings and how the mighty have fallen in that franchise. It's kind of shocking to see what's happened with that team. This is an interesting time for players because I want everyone to kind of think about this. So you're at work, and you're doing your thing. And you get a call, on Monday saying, hey, you're going to Vancouver. Yeah, you're going to go, install, systems, sprinkler systems in Vancouver now. And you're going to go right now, and you're going to go with a smile on your face. And you're going to, and you're not going to.
You're going to leave your family behind.
Everything. You're just going to drop everything and go right now. I did a interview for the Time Machine, Where Are They Now? And Jamal Mayers obviously was part of the big Dion Phaneuf trade. And he said, yeah, it's the craziest thing in the world. I was getting ready to take my two daughters and my wife for some pictures, the old family pictures at the studio there. And said, get the calls. Like, no, we're not doing that now. It is, as much as these guys are well compensated and there's only about 900 of them that can do this, it's still kind of a weird time because it's still part of the job and part of the deal. It can happen to anybody. So there you are. And you're saying, oh, by the way, go out tomorrow night and don't worry about anything and play your heart out. Okay. Thanks. Cause we might replace you, tomorrow or tonight, or we might send you somewhere, but don't let that bother you. Right. I mean, it's kind of
it's
a crazy business.
You.
Yeah.
That's reality. Unless you are one of those people in any kind of organization. And I would suggest in the world that we live in today, we don't have very many places where people are in companies for 30 or 40 years at a time. These are different times, and people are more disposable now than they've ever been in the world that we live in. I don't like it, but it is reality. And anybody tries to tell me different, I'll go toe to toe because I see it, I live it, I feel it, I talk to other people about it. These are different times. So, yes, think about getting that phone call in the next few days. And then now I've got to call my wife and now it affects my kids. And not every player is in that situation. You know, there's lots of players, especially young ones who, that's part of the problem. They've only really had to be responsible for themselves. And all everybody's been telling them for the last 6 or 7 years is how great they are. Well, guess what? When you get traded by anyone, or you are told that you are no longer wanted, that stings.
Well, it has to.
And if you've ever experienced it, it can be crushing.
Yeah.
Crushing. And not all the money in the world will always fix those things. And in fact, if everyone in your life, if you have been taught, I get it, I get what I want. 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 Uh-oh. Now I don't.
Yeah. Well, because these guys have all made every team. They've always been, it's just here we go, right? And now it's like, oh, but now it becomes the business of hockey, that this is truly a business. And you're Sam Bennett Incorporated or you're Michael Backlund Incorporated or whoever. And that's how you have to look at it, but it's still a human part of it. Lou, we're running out of time because we got off on a tangent, but that's okay. We'll talk about Sam Bennett tomorrow, but I did get a little information. First of all, congratulations to the Flames Foundation and everybody, Candace and the whole crew, $380,000 raised at the poker tournament for a one-day event. It takes a ton to organize that. And, you know, people from all over the city make sure that they mark it on their calendar, and the Flames alumni and Stampeders, everyone gets together. And, I mean, that's a ton of cash that's going to help a lot of people, $380,000. So congrats to them for sure. And the only kind of hockey question I want to ask, Derek Ryan back at practice. So he was he's over whatever he was over, and that is obviously a good thing.
It's a great thing. You know, one of the Flames, Mr. Consistence. Now, he was not on a regular line today, so it will be interesting to see if he's fit enough, feels good enough, is back, because I understand that, you know, there's been a flu bug, but then there was his flu bug, and it hit him, and it hit him really hard. But he skated the last couple of days. It would be hard for me to imagine he's not in the lineup tomorrow if indeed he's well enough. I don't see a situation where that's not the case. So that will be part of our chat tomorrow. Who's in, who's out, and analyzing how to deal with the perfection line and the rest of the Boston Bruins.
Original six team Friday night lose mailbag. I mean, it is must hear radio tomorrow. Not that this wasn't, but it's going to be even better tomorrow, right, Lou?
Oh, well, I think this one was dynamite, but we're gonna have two steaks or two kegs tomorrow instead of just one.
We're going to rev it up a little bit. Okay, Lou, have a great Thursday. Great. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, thanks so much.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Hey, we're doing a couple of things with Kids Sport, continuing our 50-50 draw, citywide 50-50 draw. Guaranteed $20,000 to the winner. 20 grand, no, maybe more, no less. And it could be yours on March the 6th. We're getting closer and closer to when you've got to get your tickets, right? So here's Scoop. We're going to be up in Creekside. Well, I'm going to be up in Creekside. And this is when I do a remote. This is when we hear from Ryan and Pat about how long my cut-ins are. It's like, well, you know what, guys? Just shut up and don't worry about it. So that's coming up. So come by and say hello to me, 3 till 7 up in Creekside, and buy a ticket and maybe get a spin to win wheel. You might get, you know, dinner for free up at OPA. There's 32 locations of OPA, don't you know? We'll be up Creekside coming up later on today. Also, it's back. This is our third annual, so now it's a tradition. Our old school playoff pool. Teams of eight, picking player after player after player. And big cash, big dough, and a lot of fun. I think the money is almost secondary. It's the buffoonery and nonsense that goes on during the night. There are some alcoholic beverages that are shared. It's a really fun night, April the 6th. So if you were there last year or the year before, get your team in. If you wanted to and didn't do it, get it together, because it's so much fun. And just like everybody thought Tampa Bay would be swept in four straight, it was a little wild. So, and we'll have some extra features, like we'll have some insiders and some, you know, plants, as it were, for people who really know, you know, how to pick pool teams and that sort of thing. So that's coming up. It's all brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery. Brewing quality craft beer in Calgary that fuels the hardworking Albertan Wild Rose Brewery, branded with character. Eric Dehatchuk, speaking of one of our insiders, he was helping out with one of the teams last year. So we will get him to do that again, but we'll see what he's up to in Los Angeles. Our NHL insider is next, right here on Hockey Central at Noon.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch making way for Pat Steinberg in at 1 o'clock. The guys will be down at the Saddle Dome as the Flames are back to practice after the poker tournament, getting ready for the Boston Bruins. So we'll see what's going on with the boys coming up after 1 o'clock. Time to check out one of our NHL insiders. He's down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. He's Eric Dehatchuk in Los Angeles. And Eric wanted to start off with the game between surprising rivals, the Dallas Stars and Arizona Coyotes. And even more of a surprising rivalry, they kind of went through it on Sportsnet yesterday, the on-again, off-again battle between Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Jamie Benn. And we find out that Jamie Benn does not get any more discipline or suspensions or fines or any of that kind of stuff on his hit on Ekman-Larsson. Your thoughts on what you saw and the lack of any suspensions for Benn?
A little surprised, to be honest, because that looked like a hit, just because it was from behind, and it looked pretty dangerous that the NHL you know, obviously is trying to take out of the game, and when it occurs in games, you know, has often resulted in a one or two game suspension. It didn't look egregious enough to be, you know, 5 to 10 where there would be like an in-person hearing offered to Ben, but the fact that there was nothing surprised me a little bit. It did look dangerous, and it did look like it could potentially be serious. And it is kind of funny that, you know, because you know, Dallas and Arizona are kind of, you know, when they play each other, that's kind of very far off the radar for most of us. And you know, those, you know, it's a 1,271 game NHL season now. And so there's an awful lot of very anonymous games. We used to always say, you know, if it's Tuesday and it's Nashville versus Columbus, you know that, you know, not a whole lot of people are going to be paying attention. And that has been the case with the games between Dallas and Arizona for a long period of time. Different now, right? I mean, I think Dallas is one of those real sleeper teams. You know, we've been talking a lot about the NHL trade deadline and you know, what teams will buy and what teams will sell and what teams think they're good enough to stand pat and press forward with the group that they've got. And I think that, you know, I mean, I think Dallas is one of those teams that believes that their top end, you know, the Sagans and the Bens and particularly Radulov is back in the lineup, have more to give and can be better. And so, you know, I don't know that they're necessarily out there looking. I think they love their goaltending. You know, Ben Bishop has been terrific. Khudobin has been an excellent 1B guy. That top three on defense, now that Klingberg's healthy with Lindell and Heiskanen, excellent. And they just don't score a lot of goals. Well, in the playoffs, sometimes you can win a lot of 2-1 games, and you can win championships playing that brand of hockey. So I don't know that they are going to reach out and grab a guy like they did last year. Remember last year they went out and got to Zuccarello, and he looked real good, and then he got hurt right away.
Yeah,
and then,
first game.
And then it just kind of – and I do think, by the way, Zuccarello would be available. So if there was a way that they could fit that free agent contract he signed with Minnesota into their situation, you know, I mean, he proved last year in a very short period of time that he was there, that he might be a good fit for them. I don't know. I don't see that happening. And I just think that they think they got a shot. And so we'll see where it goes in the next 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Cause when you think of that Central Division, you don't, you know, the teams that have the buzz, obviously the Blues were winning the Stanley Cup last year, and everyone's talking about Colorado, and they've had some, you know, some injuries that have kind of slowed their progress a little bit. So this is kind of interesting, and Dallas just kind of does their thing, right? You know, they're right up there with points. They got 76 points, but I don't know if anyone's jumping up and down saying, look out for the Dallas Stars, but maybe that's exactly where they should be, right?
Well, here's the thing. So last year, how much, you know, we talked so much about the St. Louis Blues, you know, last in the league in January and then, you know, all the way on to the Stanley Cup. Well, you know, on a very smaller, more micro scale, really a similar thing happened with Dallas. I mean, Dallas was 1-7-1 out of the gate. Like, I think people have forgotten that. They couldn't get anything going in the first month of the season, nothing. They were finding ways of losing games that were just, you know, unimaginable. And since then, if you track their record, I believe, the last time I checked anyway, I think they've had the second best record in the National Hockey League since around November the 1st. So after that really poor start, you know, they've been one of the top teams in the league. But of course, when you get behind the eight ball, you know, at 1-7-1, you know, it takes you a month just to get to 500, and then it takes you another month to get to where they are now, where they're, you know, they're creeping up on Colorado, and St. Louis has kind of hit the little bit of a wall here in February, and all of a sudden it looks pretty tight at the top of the Central Division, and it's not without the, you know, the realm of possibility that Dallas could actually win that division now, and for sure, a month into the season, you would have not thought that possible.
Yeah. Eric Tkachuk is our guest right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. This is Hockey Central at noon. Okay, Eric, 1 o'clock Monday, trade deadline. They're not coming in to my liking. I was hoping for more trades like I do every year because it's just, you know, I have a, you know, a dog in the fight. I like all kinds of stuff going on the radio station. That's just the way I am. But we were talking earlier today about what other teams should and should not do. And Labardius was interesting because he was saying that, you know, Vancouver's in a different situation than Calgary. Haven't made the playoffs since 2015. They're a team that really has to show to their fans and their young players that, yeah, we're serious about this. So when you think about, you know, what they're planning on doing, now they've done the Toffoli thing. Maybe they do one more thing. Who knows? But if you're the Edmonton Oilers, where you've got all these prospects, you've got these two really good players that are outstanding world class, don't you owe it to your fans to maybe sacrifice a little future and see if you can get one of those so-called big fish and see if they can help you here in the last couple of months and get you into the playoffs and make some noise? Where do you come out on what the Oil might do between now and 1 o'clock on Monday?
Well, I'm not sure that those two goals are necessarily mutually exclusive. So on the one hand, I don't think, like I've known Ken Holland, the general manager there, for a long period of time, and Ken Holland is a patient man. So when he took the job, you know, I think he identified this publicly as a transitional year, and they went out and they signed a lot of players to one-year contracts because they felt that the bottom half of the roster needed improving, and they had some salary cap issues that they wanted to work through. And so, you know, the goal for them at the start of the season was very modest: make the playoffs. You know, hope you're at least in the playoff race in February, which obviously they are, and then evaluate and see where you go. Now, he does have one trade chip that has been, you know, out there for a long period of time, and that's Jesse Puljujarvi, who was drafted two places ahead of Matthew Tkachuk, currently playing in Finland, having by all accounts, you know, a decent year there, and I think that there is interest in Puljujarvi among a lot of NHL teams. So what you do when you offer Puljujarvi into the market is you're not taking a player off your current NHL roster, and yet for him, for the value that a fourth overall pick that's still young can provide, you probably can get a contributing player. So lots of us have linked him to his former team, Detroit, and Detroit appears to be willing to listen to Athanasiou, who's had some injury issues but is really fast and last year scored 30 goals and has been hurt a lot this year but is back in the lineup and has been, you know, scoring goals again. Defensive liability, a guy that isn't that well acquainted with, you know, the 100 foot of the ice on the other side of the center. But you know, on that team playing that Dave Tippett system, you know, he might be a fit. And then, so then it comes down to, okay, what's the, you know, the acquisition cost for him? And I don't think that Edmonton is prepared to trade a first round pick, but I do believe they'd be prepared to trade a future second round pick or, you know, maybe a prospect in the organization. So as I say, I don't think they're going to take their eye off the ball. I do think that they feel that they, you know, that they're probably not a Stanley Cup contender this year. Getting closer, and obviously, you know, tremendous year from Leon Draisaitl, tremendous year from Connor McDavid. You know, these guys are not old. That, you know, the window is just cracking open in Edmonton. So I think they can do both. I think they can they can add, and that sends a message not only to your fan base but to your team. But they can do it without, you know, meaningfully, you know, giving up some of the future. You know, because I think that they realize that, you know, the relationship with Puljujarvi is going to come to an end, whether it be at the trade deadline or at the draft. But he doesn't seem interested in going back. He doesn't appear to have changed his mind about that. So they will get something for that asset. And if somebody is prepared to step up now and give them a player that can help them, that might happen between now and the trade deadline.
And Ken Holland has enough authority and enough hands-offness. It's not a word, but, you know, the owner has always been kind of in front and center there. But I know when he took the job, it was like, no, I'll take the job, but you got to let me do it my way. Is that, you think that's real, or is that just talk?
No. That definitely is real. I don't think he would have gone in there, and I think that that's what a five-year contract commitment does for you. You know, it gives you the flexibility and the leeway to not have to deviate off the plan. You know, if you go in there and it's framed as a quick fix, you know, we need success now because, you know, we've struggled. I mean, it's been tough up there for a long period of time, and I get, if you're part of the fan base there, you know, to hear the word "we need to be patient" after all you've done is be patient for the last however many years it's been since they've made the playoffs or done anything meaningful in the playoffs. You know, that's tough to swallow. I think what you have to do is have confidence that the manager that's hired there has a proven track record, that the coach that's hired there has a proven track record, that the one thing that the Oilers wanted to solve this year was to learn to play better defense, because, you know, when you've got McDavid and Draisaitl and a few of the supporting cast there, you're probably going to score enough goals to win, but you have to make sure that when those two guys are not on the ice that you're not giving up a lot of goals. So I think that, you know, that the system that they've introduced with Dave Tippett behind the bench has improved that. And so, yeah, they're on the right track. I think that, you know, they're trending in the right direction. And, you know, the idea that it has to be right now is incorrect. I think that, you know, they will do the right thing for both the short, medium, and long term for the organization. I just trust the people that they've hired there to do that and stick to their guns, and they're not going to be, you know, pushed into doing something that they don't believe is part of the master plan.
And as for Calgary, do you think there's anything crazy in the works? Do you think it's going to be a big splash, no splash, small splash?
Well, the thing is, like it's a hard question to answer, and the reason is that, you know, we all know that, you know, that the way Brad Tree Living operates, and this is how I would operate if I was a general manager too, is you call everybody and you're in on everything. I mean, that's how I operate my fantasy hockey team. I call everybody and I'm in on everything. But in the end, you know, once you start having those conversations, you have to determine in your own mind, you know, how far am I prepared to go, and how many chips am I willing to push into the middle to get a rental, for example, or to fill in a hole on defense that ultimately will probably be filled internally when our injured players get back. And so, you know, it's a sliding scale in your brain all the time. And what I would tell you is that when they had that run on defensemen the other day, I believe that, you know, that a handful of teams really overpaid. And it was because what always happens at the trading deadline is if a general manager on a selling team can get a team in a bidding war, that's gold. That's gold. Because all of a sudden now you're extracting a far greater price than what you should be able to get for example, you know, Brendan Dillon. I mean, you know, Brendan Dillon is, you know, a good player, but oh my goodness, you know, I mean, you know, but that's what happens. You know, there's a small, you know, commodity of experienced defensemen. So many teams have had injuries, not just Calgary. Columbus has had injuries. I mean, you know, everybody seems to be losing a key guy, and you need help if you have that, and especially if you don't think you're getting your guy back anytime soon. So, you know, the prices, I think, are just too high right now. They could come down at the trade deadline. You know, it may well be that if you're a team that has a guy that you are anxious to get something for, and all of a sudden it's 5 minutes to the deadline and you're not getting a second, and you'll take a third, or you're asking for a third, and now someone's going to give you a fourth, you know, then you have to decide. So it's just, like I say, it's the sands shift from day to day and hour to hour, and it's really hard to give you a definitive answer. I don't know what kind of a splash they're going to have. I don't think it'll be big, and I would say that only because I don't think that there's a ton of rentals out there that really look attractive. I do think that making a hockey deal, you know, we trade our player X for your player Y because we think that your player Y gives us more of what we need. I think something like that could happen. Doesn't happen that often at the trade deadline, but in the situation that Calgary's in, you know, I'd be more inclined to think that we'd see a hockey trade than a trade for a rental, to be honest with you.
Well, we'll find out together on Monday. We'll be all over it right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Eric, thanks for taking the time out. We will talk next week for sure.
Okay, thank you.
There we go. Eric Tkachuk down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Hey, they've had the same secret recipe since 1975. For pickup or delivery, call 403-248-3344. Or just dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive in the Northeast. Congratulations to the Calgary Hitmen. A big shootout win in Victoria as they control so far. They've been a great road trip in British Columbia, so they will play Vancouver tomorrow. And then Kamloops to wrap things up. We'll have that game for you on Saturday night. Pregame at 7 with Matt Rose. Play-by-play at 8 o'clock. And don't forget the Calgary Flames back at it. They got a busy weekend Friday. Tomorrow, they'll be at home against Boston, pregame at 6, play-by-play at 7, and then on the road, it starts in Detroit. An early start, Flames Game Day Live will be 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, play-by-play goes at 5. I think that's just about it. I want to mention that we do have our trade deadline coverage coming up Monday. We're all hands on deck. We're even taking equipment to Boston. So Lou and Derek will have their little table set up with all their gear, and if the Flames do anything, they'll be right at the same hotel. They'll say, hey, put on a headset and let's talk about it. So we'll see what happens. It could be a lot, could be a little bit, could be nothing, but we're going to be prepared no matter what. And it's all brought to you by our good partners at Adrenaline Source for Sports. You know where they are, Naughty 309 McLeod Trail South. The Midwinter Hockey Sale is on right now. Huge markdowns on skates, sticks, and equipment. Go check them out, and thanks to them for getting us all the coverage all day long. We start at 5:30 and we don't stop till 10 on Monday for the NHL trade deadline. Make sure you check the guys out on Twitter as well, because they'll have anything that breaks first. And of course, we'll really get into it right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll take a break, get No BS on, and then Steinberg after 1 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is No BS with Berkey and Marek on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We all know that successful drafting is the key to putting together a top team in the NHL. Ditto for development as well. But which department is more crucial to a franchise's long-term health? Why don't we ask Berkey next on No BS?
Hi, I'm Andrew Mangiapane. Come shop where I shop at Country Hills Toyota.
All the great shop at the giant Country Hills Toyota. You can be next. Country Hills Toyota is the home of the Great Fleet Pricing Event. Get 3 years prepaid maintenance, $8,000 cash back, a free starter in winter tires, 0% on every Toyota, and free gas up to $2,000. Think Toyota. Think the giant Country Hills Toyota, where your favorite players like Andrew Mangiapane shop. It's time to Toyota. Visit chtoyota.com.
Okay, Berkey, I'm really curious to see your reaction to this one. Phil sent this one along. Quote, if you could choose just one, would you rather have the best scouting department or the best player development staff?
Phil, get a hobby. It's a great question, but it's really not a question, I think, where you can choose one or the other, because if you don't have both, you're screwed. And I'm weaseling out of the question, Phil, but I really believe that. There are two horses on this team. You got two horses pulling the plow. They're linked to the collar. You need them both. If you don't draft well, you're screwed. If you don't develop well, you're screwed. So it used to be player development was you draft guys. You had one assistant in the – well, back in the day when I played, no assistant coaches in the minors when I played in the American League. Now you're up to two assistant coaches, a goaltending coach, a floating strength coach, with your minor league team. Then the guys back in junior, the guys playing university, the guys back in Europe, someone's watching them play, going over and meeting with them, going on the ice with them, talking to them, taking them out for supper, giving them hints. It is such a huge budget item now. You know, when I first went to Calgary, we had one guy in player development, and I think Tree's got 3.5 now, or 4, plus a skating instructor, plus a roving strength coach. Stockton, their American League team, has two assistant coaches and a goalie coach, so and a video guy. So that's gone from deploying your resources just on scouting to splitting your resources. Let's pick right, but no matter how well you pick, unless you can develop those players, they're never going to play.
How much of this newfound expanded development staff and all these different staff roles are a byproduct of the salary cap? You can only spend so much on players. Your team like the Calgary Flames, who does have money and resources, is this why we're starting to see improved support staff?
Yes. Hard cap limits what you can spend on players, not on anything else. So you're seeing these wonderful practice arenas being built. You're seeing massive staffs being assembled. I think there's one team in the NHL that has 7 people in player development. 7. Now, to me, that's too many. That's a waste of money. But and it's the same thing. Someone said, well, the Toronto Maple Leafs could have 30 scouts. Well, that's too many. You got too many voices in the room then. So I think you can overcome the hard cap. You can get an advantage in spending, but it's got to be sensible. But definitely in scouting and development. But you can't have one without the other.
This is Lana Duke with Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You've heard me say, if it doesn't sizzle, send it back. Why is the sizzle so important? Well, we broil your age prime steak at 1800 degrees and serve it on a heated plate so it stays hot and juicy to the last delicious bite. You can actually hear your steak sizzling from across the room. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Come in soon and come hungry, darling.
Want Brian to answer your question here? Use the hashtag #HeyBerkey on social media. Thanks for listening to No BS.